Hi, folk, and welcome to Shift Church. It's lovely to have you all with us here tonight. Those of you, some of you are online with us, I know, watching on Facebook. Some of you will be catching up on Facebook or YouTube or one of the podcasts a little bit later. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're at work, if you're at home, out for a run, walking the dog, it's lovely to have you with us. My name is Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints Church, Wellington, and St. Catherine's Eyton. And who have we got with us tonight? We've got three of us here tonight. We've got, say hello, Sarah.
Hi there, it's me, and I've got a Robin with me, which means nothing on the podcast, but I've got a Robin called Barry with me. So, yeah, two of us in this window here tonight. And the white men knocking at the door.
And who have we got? Who else have we got? Say hello, Lynn.
Hello, I'm Lynn.
Yeah, how are you doing this week, Lynn? Doing all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Slightly dodgy internet connection there. Hopefully that won't get us too... catch us too badly. I want to know if anybody else has been doing doorstep carols. I've just finished doing doorstep carols in our street. Either of you done doorstep carols?
No.
Doorstep rain dodging.
Yeah.
Well, we get some really weird microclimates around Wellington.
Well, I'm in Broseley. We've got our own climate in Broseley.
Yeah, but someone else who lives in Wellington put on their stream that it was raining where they were, and we didn't get any rain for the whole hour.
It's been raining all day.
Yeah,
buckets and buckets.
It stopped here about 4 o'clock. It hasn't rained since.
Well, I had a very dodgy man in the back of my car today by the name of Nick Brooke. There you go. We were all masked up and he was handing over some of the Hope magazines. But it was so lovely to come. But we were in, all masked up and distanced in the car. Just for a couple of minutes, and it was brilliant scene. But I have to say, I felt like I was in the middle of a film or something because the rain was just pounding down.
Yeah.
So we obviously weren't as blessed as you guys at that period of time.
Obviously not. So anybody else on the stream been carol singing this evening out on their street? That's what I want to know. Put a comment in the comment stream if you've been out carol singing. Or if you're listening and you want to tell us about your carol singing or anything else that we've been talking about, put it on the stream, on the comments when you're watching, or email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll read it out next week. Now, last week we were thinking about care for creation and reflecting on that and our responsibility for that. And you might want to put on the stream now anything that you've done differently this week as a result of that, or any thoughts or reflections you've had on that. I wonder if either of you have been reflecting back on that or anything. I know
We have our resident expert, of course, Lynn.
Yeah, Lynn's been posting some stuff on the All Saints Facebook page for folks to go and have a look at, which has been really useful.
Yeah. I've just finished a course on Sunday evenings, which was run by Green Christian.
Mm.
I'm going to be starting a new one, it's a pilot at the moment, and it's about green economics, which I know absolutely zero about. So that'd be interesting. I'm part of the guinea pig pilot group. I'll let you know how it goes.
Brilliant. Share what you learn.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's no point going on a course if you know everything already.
That was fun.
It's good though, because it's like, it's just a small group and it's about 6 weeks. So, and there's sort of reading to do beforehand, so it sort of makes you work the old grey cells and gets you talking to people. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, sounds fab. Good, good. So that
I
was...
think generally it just probably just touched us all, really. So it gave us all something to think about. I seem to have felt conscious about things to this week, how long I'm leaving taps running for or whatever. So nothing major. It's just always being conscious, I suppose.
Yeah, makes a big difference. So that was last week, but do continue to send us emails about it or put things on the comments stream. I know Lynn's keeping an eye on the comments stream this evening. See what we're saying. Was that shake head, Lynn's not? Oh no, you can't, can you? Because your glasses. It's all right. I'll do that. I said I do. Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. Lynn did ask me to, and then I wasn't listening, and I haven't. But I need to find it now. Hold on a minute. I'll tell you what. I'll do that in a minute. No, I want to do it now, just in case there's any comments that I've missed.
Yeah.
Who's saying hello? And that kind of thing. Hold on a minute. This is great. People watching Facebook, watching someone saying hello on Facebook. So there we go. Oh, there you are. Rachel says they've been singing Christine Avenue. That's lovely. That's excellent. Great. Oh, no, I need to turn the sound down now, otherwise we're going to get all... I would be better at this by now. Emily says, nice tree, Sarah.
Thank you, Emily. And what did you think? Any comments about Barry?
No comments about Barry yet.
Can the people out there watching tell me if you can tell that Barry's a robin? Because Tim and Lynn don't think you can tell that Barry's a robin.
You can, but if you do a full 360, it's just when it's completely from the front, all you can see is red.
It looks like a red hair, like that.
To the podcast.
Oh!
No use at all. What
would Drew say? Bah, humbug. Oh, you leave my Robin, my Barry alone.
I wasn't having a go. Right, order. This week we are thinking about joy and rejoicing, and that's kind of, it's an Advent theme, but also at the moment when there's a whole load of stuff around that we might not feel joyful about or rejoicing over, kind of the discipline of joy and rejoicing is something to have a think about. So we're going to start with a spoken word piece, just opportunity to focus on the theme, to just take a breath. Whatever we're doing at work, at home, out for a run, and just focus on the presence of God and receiving what God has for us this evening. So I'm going to try and remember. There you are. Oh, I need to share my screen, don't I? It's not going to work if I don't. Here we go. Share screen.
Ooh,
oh, hold on. Oh, that's better. Yay. Let's do that.
Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. Be glad and shout out with joy. For he promises to uplift you, and your doubts he'll destroy. For those who trust in the Lord are covered by his mercies. All those who believe in him shall conquer their adversities. Rejoice, all who love the Lord. With delight, offer him your praise. He will shield and protect you, and your fears he will raise. Stand up against the wicked one. Don't you believe in his lies. All who affirm the work of the Lord will be blessed with a heart that is wise. Rejoice in his wonder and glory. Let his splendour embrace you. Rejoice and be glad in the Lord, and his love will encircle you too. For those who rejoice in the Lord and give him their praise each day are the ones who always trust him with his answers when they pray. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Always lift him up in praise and let him hear your voice.
Yeah. So thank you to Sarah for finding and reading that for us. Just sets the scene for us this evening. And I hate to break this kind of rhythm, but just to feed back to you with regard to your Robin, Sarah.
Barry.
We've got quite a lot of votes for red pears. Karen says, of course you can tell Barry as a Robin.
Thank you, Karen. I can trust him, Karen.
Nobody thought it was a hat.
So I'm afraid
We're on for red pairs at the minute.
You've got one vote for Robin, Sarah.
Come on, Karen. And I'm not going to the Milner that Lynn uses, if that looks like a hat.
Okay, so we're going to leave the Robin alone and we are going to have our Bible readings. So I think I'm going to read first Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 4. You need time to find that on your phone. That's Isaiah 61, or even looking up in a paper Bible if you've got one to hand, that's always good.
Oh, I've just bought a new one.
Oh, excellent, good. Mm. Isaiah 61, 1 to 4.
Mine's aged.
That is very aged one.
I call it the duct tape Bible in my house because it's held together with duct tape.
Well, that's an excellent kind of Bible to have.
Yeah.
So Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called mighty oaks, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Hey, the oil of joy instead of the mourning. That's good. I like that.
Okay, over to me then.
Yeah.
So my reading is, and it's the NIV, taken from NIV version, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. I want you to just turn over and find that. Just a bit of background, because I like to know a bit of background sometimes. So written by Paul in late AD 50, early AD 51, and he was in Athens at the time, sent Timothy to encourage the Thessalonians, and Timothy returned to Paul at Corinth, and Paul was overjoyed to find out the news that the Thessalonians were strong of faith, and so from Corinth he wrote the first Thessalonian letter, and it's one of the earliest of Paul's letters and therefore one of the first books of the New Testament. And Paul didn't have a lot of time. So it's although it sounds a lot of verses, it's actually really short. And he wanted to express his joy at Thessalonians, the steadfastness, encourage them about the mindset and in the midst of suffering and correct any misconceptions about the Lord's return. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 24. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to share some reflections on that. We pray as we gather around the written word. Listen to the spoken word. May we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to have a bit of conversation as this as we go through. And if there are things that strike you, particularly on the stream, and you want to put comments on, do have a chat in the background. That's fine. If you're listening afterwards and want to email in a question or a thought, do that. So, as Sarah kind of very helpfully outlined for us, Paul is writing to his friends in the city of Thessalonica. And Paul was one of these people who did long journeys and he went to visit lots of cities. And as he went round, he set up his shop and he started talking to people about Jesus. And more often than not, he ended up starting a little church. Also more often than not, to be fair, he ended up winding either the local Jewish leaders or the local Romans up and having to run from the city for his life, which is what happened in Thessalonica. So he started a little church, but then he upset people. So he got chased out of the city. And so that's one of the reasons he's concerned for them. He doesn't really know what happened after he left. So he sent, as Sarah said, sent Timothy back. And he's got this encouraging report back. And we're at the end of the fifth chapter, which is the last chapter. And he's been talking a lot all the way through about joy and rejoicing and about what it means to be living in the time between Jesus' ascension to heaven and his return, which is one of the reasons it's such a good book to look at in Advent, because in Advent we're thinking all about preparing for Christmas when Jesus came for the first time, but also looking forward and being ready for when Jesus comes again.
Amen.
So we've got to the end of the letter and he's done most of the teaching and now he's coming up with these like pithy one-liners. They're like little proverbs, aren't they? It's kind of marching orders. I'm not going to do loads about it, like these, right, this is what you need to be doing. And to be honest, they're very short verses, but I could do a whole talk on each of the
points.
Verses. You could reflect. You could reflect on quite a lot of them for a week or a year, even. Mm. You could spend a lifetime learning to pray continually. So tonight we're thinking about rejoice always. Two very easy words to say. And not always easy to do. Mm. And I don't find this one easy.
No, it's just that thing of always trying to find the good out of a bad situation, isn't it? Trying to leave behind. And COVID is a brilliant time to think about how do we rejoice through this period of COVID.
Yeah, how do we rejoice when the world's a mess? How do we rejoice when people we love are in pain or ill? How do we rejoice when people are losing their jobs, when we're losing our jobs, when we're afraid we might lose our homes, perhaps? And how can Paul say this to people who he actually knew, the people he were writing to? It wasn't that they were having a great life. He'd been chased out of the city and he knew they were facing persecution as well. So is it not just insensitive for him to tell them to rejoice? Well, actually, in the Christian understanding, it's the only way to survive those times.
Mm-hmm. It helps if you get a bit of guidance of, rather than just saying rejoice, it does help then if you get, and this is how you could do it.
Well, funny you should say that.
Thought was interesting. When I heard the sermon on Sunday, what stuck in my head, I didn't have the words in front of me then, what stuck in my head was the rejoice always. And like you said, not very easy to do. Mm. But that sort of challenged me. And then when I read it today in sort of preparation, and like you, I read it from the NIV, and it's this actual sentence is rejoice always. Pray continually and be thankful. Mm. Either or. You've got to do all three.
Yeah.
And, the pray continually has definitely got something to do with the rejoice always.
It absolutely has. Yeah. And actually, it's not just Paul that says it either. Jesus says it as well. He's always going on about rejoicing. In one example, Matthew's account of the good news of Jesus' life in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are the... And he says, and he turns in his kingdom, the poor, the mourning, the meek, the humble, they're all rewarded and blessed. But in the end, he says, rejoice when people persecute you and say all sorts of evil things against you. because this is how they treated the prophets who were before you. So basically, Jesus is saying that when we run into opposition to our faith, we should be glad because it shows we're being faithful to what God called us to do. And being joyful over the circumstances shows we're on the right path.
Yeah.
Heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I think we've become sort of conditioned by what the world thinks of joy and not by what it is in a faith thing. Joy isn't a reaction. Oh, that's lovely, so it makes me joyful. It's a choice.
Yeah, absolutely. And being joyful about the right thing. So Jesus points out, so his friends, he sends them off on a mission trip in Luke chapter 10. And we see them coming back and they're all very excited and joyful and they overjoyed because even the demons submit to us. And Jesus says, don't rejoice about that, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And Jesus, what Jesus is saying to his friends and saying to us is that we need to choose what we rejoice over. What do we focus on? We might have all kinds of success in our lives, or we might have all kind of failure. On the journey of our lives, all good things happen and bad things happen. But in the end, it's our destination that's the source of our joy. The fact that if we believe in Jesus and follow him, our names are written in heaven and we can be secure in that. Our salvation can't be shaken or taken away from us, which is completely different to the circumstances around us. We have very little control over COVID or the economic situation, all kinds of things going on around us. That's all very shaky. But actually, we've been promised that there's something solid that we can build our lives on, that we can trust on, and that can fill us with joy. And of course, our salvation is bigger and more awesome than anything else. What we're getting ready to celebrate at Christmas is that God in Jesus came to be one of us, to live as one of us. He taught, and then he went to the cross, he died, was raised to life, ascended into heaven, so that we could be children of God. And that's just absolutely fantastic. That's the joy of our salvation. So despite everything else and the circumstances, everything around us, if I hold on to that vision of my name written in heaven, the destination, that's where we're heading for, and it's secure, that can kind of help me be joyful, even when things around me are difficult. But that doesn't mean that I go around with a grin plastered on my face, pretending that everything's all shiny, happy, when it's not. It's not about pretending that we're happy if we're not. In another of his letters, in a letter to the church in Galatia, Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit, and he describes them as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And joy is right there at the beginning. Joy is something that the Holy Spirit grows in us as we follow Jesus. Now I've got, who's got fruit? Hasn't we got fruit trees or grow fruit in their gardens?
Yeah.
What do you grow?
That's the stalk.
What do you grow?
Apples and plums.
Apples and plums. What about you, Lynn?
James has got three apple trees. We've got blueberries, gooseberries, probably something else. blackberries.
And what do you do to make more fruit grow better?
You have to prune them back. A
bit of pruning. Yes. What else?
You have to feed it.
Bit of thinning of the fruit.
Well, that's the pruning.
No. Well, on my apple trees, at least, pruning's a kind of late winter, early spring job.
Yeah.
And then thinning the fruits are kind of after the fruit's set, but you don't, particularly plums. If you don't thin plums, you end up with broken branches.
Oh, he's getting on. Let me write that down. Let me write these tips down. I'll have you come sort my plum tree out next year.
The point being is there are things we can do to make the fruit grow better.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Holy Spirit grows the fruit, that's true, but there are things
we have to get rid of the dead wood.
We can contribute, get rid of the dead wood as well. We can ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with joy. We can feed the joy. We can reflect on the things which cause us joy and take our focus off the things which cause us to despair. the Christians in Thessalonica were being persecuted. They could had a choice. They could focus on the persecution, or they could focus on the Holy Spirit growing that joy in them, in their assurance of salvation. And actually, one of the things we can do is think about that salvation, reflect on it, reflect on what Jesus did for us. Christmas is a great time for doing this because we celebrate Jesus' birth. And if, as we reflect on this, the kind of extravagant outpouring of love from God in Jesus can really soak into our souls and help us understand that. Now, in one of his other letters, which Paul wrote a lot of letters to the Christians in Rome, Paul also says we should rejoice with those who rejoice. And it can be quite difficult, can't it? Because if we're going through a difficult time, if we're in pain, if we're upset about something, it can be really hard to choose to celebrate with people who are celebrating and rejoice with them. But it goes back to what you said, Sarah, we have a choice. We can complain to God that it isn't fair, or we can choose to rejoice with those who rejoice, be glad for them. And actually, as we're glad for them, so that releases joy in our hearts. Yeah. And then back to what Lynn was saying, that these things are connected. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks.
Mm-hmm. It's all one sentence.
It is. And actually, it's like, you know, you get vicious cycles, spirals where things go wrong and it all goes badly downwards.
Yes.
You can get virtuous spirals as well. And this is a virtuous spiral. Because if we pray and ask for things and we see them happening and then we're thankful for them.
Yeah.
And then we rejoice that they're happening. That increases our faith. We're more likely to pray. We're more likely to pray with more faith. We see more stuff happening. We get thankful. We rejoice. And you see it spirals up.
Absolutely.
It's a joyful spiral.
Absolutely.
So they reinforce each other.
Yeah.
As prayer becomes a way of life, we give every situation to God. We invite God into every situation. We see God working. Our gratitude grows. We have opportunities to rejoice. We pray more. It's great. Mm. And so our feelings, our emotions become less dependent on the circumstances and things around us and more rooted in the reality of God's presence and involvement. And our security always comes back to God's character and God's promises that he's written our names in his book.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, that's all very well. But even if we accept that our joy comes from God and we can always rejoice in the joy of our salvation because that's secure, what about the world around us? It would be really unkind to go around telling everybody how great our lives are if they're going through hard times, wouldn't it? It's not very pastorally sensitive, kind of bouncing around joyfully when somebody else is not.
Being Tigger.
Yeah. Tigger and Eeyore is a really good example of this as well. When Tigger bounces Eeyore into the river and he's floating down the stream. Somebody else has read Winnie the Pooh. Go and read Winnie the Pooh, where Tigger bounces Eeyore into the river and he's who's playing poo sticks and suddenly sees Eeyore drifting down under this bridge. What are you doing in the river, Eeyore? I was bounced. Anyway, sorry. I've got completely distracted now. We talked a minute ago about rejoicing with those who rejoice, and actually the other side of that is mourning with those who mourn. And that's really important as well. It's an important part of what Jesus did and what Jesus calls us to do. When Jesus went to see Martha and Mary after Lazarus had died, he wept with them.
Mm.
He mourned with those who mourn. But that's not all he did. He also spoke life into the situation and called Lazarus back to life. And we can't always do that. I've never done that. When I'm with people who mourn, but coming alongside people who are mourning, are fragile, are in a dark place as followers of Jesus is absolutely important, and being sensitive to that grief. but actually also speaking life and saying, and just holding on to the fact that there is the possibility of joy. And there is possibility of light in the dark. And if we don't talk about that at all, then we don't do anybody any favours, I don't think. Because as we read in Isaiah, we talked about the oil of joy instead of mourning. And we do have that to offer. And it goes back to this being real, doesn't it? So in summary, to a broken world, Jesus offers wholeness. To a hurting world, Jesus offers healing. To a despairing world, Jesus brings hope. To a defeated world, Jesus gives victory. As the carol says, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, I wonder
you
if
read you... at the end, you know, to a despairing world, to a... It's, that's brilliant, that.
Yeah. Good, isn't it? So, yeah, any further reflections from you guys, either on what I've said or on the scriptures?
I think you mentioned about, I don't know, you sort of think time after time things happening to you, and you're so right in that I've come to learn, when I mentioned before about taking out of bad things, and so perhaps, you know, building ourselves up to think, but what good has come out of, for example, the COVID situation? And I know that my faith has never been as strong as it is now. And my ability, don't get me wrong, I've still got a heck of a way to go, but my ability to deal with things and situations, because of me having had some extra time when I've done a lot of reading and watching sermons and all sorts of stuff, that I've got my toolkit is so big now. I need another car to carry it around in. And it's that mindset of looking at things different ways. And absolutely, I now, when I'm finding, okay, that's gone wrong. Oh, it's gone, that's gone wrong as well. And that's gone wrong. And then I just sit back and think, I'm doing something right, because the enemy don't come after you if you're not right, and he starts to get worried, you know? And then normally what I found, because I look for it, I think, is that all of these negative things, and then quite soon after that, something really positive happens. And I notice with God-given help that I'm pointing to the telly if you're wondering why I'm doing that. God-given help to know this and to recognise it. And I think we have to choose what we're going to take out of situations. It's like, I was watching something today and talking about Bethlehem. And if you say to Bethlehem, what does Bethlehem mean to you? And you think, well, Christ was born in Bethlehem, you know, the light of the world and everything changed. But also Bethlehem, just outside of Bethlehem, is where Rachel died, you know, Jacob's favourite wife, and all of his work. It was a terrible place from his point of view. But what do we choose to know? What do we know most about Bethlehem? It's where Christ was born. It's where Jesus was born. So you've got in parallel always good and bad about something. You generally can't change the bad that's gone, but you can certainly work with the good and make it grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Ali on the stream, just reflecting on this idea of thanking God, says it's not necessarily thanking God for the circumstances, it's thanking God for being God.
Yeah.
So we don't have to pretend to be grateful for things that are rubbish, but we can always thank God for being in it with us and for being consistent in character.
Yeah,
it's like that footsteps poem, isn't it? You know, you look back and see there was only one line of footsteps in the sand, and God says, that's where I was carrying you, will be with you to carry you through, even though you don't often know it at the time. you know, mm. with you when you're going through absolute pants stuff, mm. you know, that is not good and
yeah,
feels like the end of the world.
Yeah.
And if somebody...
Too much for you to carry.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's, if anybody, of course, people like YouTube, we're broadcasting on YouTube now, but if you have a bit of a search after for a group called Orphan No More, there's a song that they wrote, what they wrote, if you're an old Walker Wise fan, called Even Now. And I know the band quite well, and I actually sponsor them. This isn't a plug. Well, it sort of is. Even Now by Orphan No More. And it was basically written when they were going through a really bad time. One of their band members developed cancer and actually passed away, and lots of bad things were happening. But what they realised was, even, you know, even when the storms are raging bad and it looks impossible, just keep worshipping, keep praising, because you still maintain that faith, and that faith will grow because you, I think in the really tough times, to worship and praise God, because he's God, and or because God is God, and just engulfs us with this, okay, it's really bad for you now, but I'm with you and it's going to be okay. And it's an amazing song, but apart from it being an amazing song, it's true. I mean, and that's something that I do now all the time. If I feel myself for some reason starting to slip, the worship songs are on, and I'm just grateful and thankful for what I have got and what has gone well.
That's great. We've got another comment, a bit of a testimony on the comments here from Emmy, saying she was having a really rough week, and she shared it with someone who prayed for them. And actually, mm-hmm. the circumstances haven't changed very much, but Emmy feels much better and much more cheerful about it, and feels like the Holy Spirit really fills her. And yeah. the answer to the prayer hasn't been necessarily a change in the circumstance, but actually in how she feels about it and how she's able to cope with it, which is really cool testimony. Thanks, Emily. That's fab.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And that actually that sense of God walking with us is really helpful. Mm. And Rita's testimony as well. I believe that whatever we go through, whatever situations we find ourselves going through, it, to help others, it's our testimony to share with others, and that we can also help bring people to the kingdom of God, see their names written in the mm. book of God as well. Mm. Right. So yeah, some really good stuff coming from the stream.
Keep those testimonies flowing in as well. It's really good to hear from you guys out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And do email us in as well. So. Yeah. Taking it home, how do we talk about joy with our youngsters?
I think sometimes you could do things. You could find joy in a leaf or the birds in the garden or nature, mm-hmm. you know, things in nature. Just focusing on something small like that, and you could find absolute joy. Focusing on the micro rather than the macro.
Yeah.
You know, the macros.
Yeah, sorry.
Circumstances all about us. But yes, yeah, and focusing on something small, joyful.
I wonder whether actually youngsters have got something to teach us on this. I was.
I've just
come to mind is a little Adrian Plasse is a Christian author.
Oh yes.
A lot of his stuff, and I seem to recall a little quote of him of his. No, 4-year-old daughter out in the garden in the springtime, having picked a daffodil, holding it up to the sunshine and just shouting, "Daffodil!"
Yeah.
And I just wonder if some, to be honest, yeah, youngsters are much better at just the joy
they are.
Of a simple thing very often than we are.
Probably got a better chance getting away with that on Wellington High Street than you or I would. yeah, got a bit of slack, yeah. I mean, there's going to be an absolutely, praise God that my little children are 29 and 31 now, so I don't have this to put up with, although the 31 can still have a strop. But, you know, Christmas Day is coming not too far away. And I'm sure there's going to be a child somewhere that's going to be expecting some amazing present that just doesn't materialise, and that there might be a few, you know, tears maybe even might have suggested. I know I've gone through that in the past, not me having the tears, me having the children having the tears. And yeah, but you, I can guarantee, as you all know, that the tears that they might shed for the one thing they haven't got, and they're going to be sitting in a room full of so many presents and wrapping paper and boxes and all sorts of stuff. So yeah, but look at what you've got. And it's that distraction to the good, isn't it? Okay, that didn't happen this time, but just look at all this stuff to be going on for now, on with for now. But yeah, yeah. I think if you do try and craft stuff. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Stuff. With the world would be such a better place without stuff.
We've got a really good suggestion here from David Sims, who says that with their youngsters, they do a "What should we thank God for today?" Just as a,
oh, I like that.
It's usually toys or diggers, but actually just building that very simple thing into a rhythm of either the bedtime routine or
breakfast,
whatever it is. What do we thank? What can we thank God for today? Just building that habit of gratitude can be really helpful.
I do that every morning when I get out of bed. Thank you, Lord, I'm still alive.
There is that.
Yeah. I'll have to start thinking of something else to thank him for. Yeah.
See, you see, I think you're a bit glass half full. You see, my general reaction when I wake up is, good morning, Lord, haven't you come again yet?
My reaction is, give me a cup of tea.
And when I start singing, thank you, Lord, for this fine day to live at 6:30, she doesn't like it at all.
I can't say I blame her.
There's not much gratitude there. There you are. David says, yeah, they do.
It's 6:30 in the morning, no.
They do. What should we say thank you for today? With milk at bedtime. Ooh. That sounds like a good suggestion to me. And not actually just for the little ones, whether we do it in the morning or as we go to bed at night. I kind of...
Oh, it works for us too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
What can we thank God for? We've got people being thankful for their COVID vaccinations.
Woo-hoo! And have them if you can, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not old enough yet. I'm about 100.
Oh, I'm not old enough yet.
I'm a long way down the queue.
Me too.
Well, for COVID, I was going to say I was very insulted when I was in Boots the other day because they said, oh, have you had your flu jab yet? I thought, oh.
Do I look over 80?
Well, no, you have to, it's 55 for the flu jab. So they were spot on.
There you go.
The flu. Sorry, I thought you meant the COVID.
And I said it was the flu jab, yeah, 55. But I was behind a mask, so then I said to my mum, have I got really wrinkly eyes? There we go. We digress. I digress.
A little bit. So, yeah, some really good stuff there about rooting ourselves in the character of God and finding our joy in that and in the security of that, despite the circumstances. That's not minimising the circumstances. We know that a lot of people are through rubbish times at the moment, but it's actually in those rubbish times we need to be, or it's helpful for us to just go and get hold of this.
And people who've been through really bad times, actually a lot of them want to hear about something good and positive.
Yeah.
To shift their focus.
I see what you did there. Okay, well, we're going to pray into some of this stuff in a minute. And if you want us to pray for you for particular things, do put things on the comment stream. Lynn's going to lead us in prayer in a minute. But before we do that, we're going to have a bit of music just to continue reflecting on this, to celebrate a bit, to have some joy. I think if I've got the right song. So there you go. I'm going to put this on and then we'll go straight to Lynn. Here we go.
From the squalor of the borrow stable, by the spirits and the virgin's veil, to the anguish and the shame. lifted on a cruel cross. He was punished for the world's transgressions. He was suffering to save the lost. He fights for bread, he fights for me, losing sinners from the claims of hell. And with a shout, our souls are free. Death defeated by Emmanuel. Now he's standing in the place of
be using the usual format of pray, pause, reflect, ask and yield. As I enter prayer now, I pause to be still, to breathe slowly, to recenter my scattered senses upon the presence of the Lord. Lord, we've heard the words of Paul. Rejoice always, pray continually. Be thankful. We look around us, the situation as it is, the world as it is, and sometimes it can be hard to be thankful and joyful. But being joyful is a choice, Lord. We rejoice in your creation, in our families, in our communities. We pray, Lord, for those who are sick. Pray for Liz, for any known to us, Lord. We lift them up and ask you to give them a touch of healing. We pray for those who are getting vaccinated, those in care homes. We pray for those still who need a vaccination before they can approach anything like a normal life. And we pray for huge swathes of the world, Lord, where there is no vaccine. And this is, we know that their hope is in you, Lord.
And so we rejoice. We thank you for, with those testimonies that we've heard on the stream, thank you for the way in which you lifted Emily's spirits this week. Thank you that as we choose to rejoice, you do fill us with joy, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We hear, Lord, that we're being asked not to meet with family and friends if we can possibly avoid it. And this is a hard thing to ask, you know, for many people. And we pray that there's an opportunity here that people will withdraw maybe from their family because of worry or whatever. But we pray that they will have the time and the space to focus on the real reason for Christmas, the real reason for Advent, and that's you, Lord. So we pray that people will have the time and the space to turn to an online service maybe, or to an actual service, and to remember the real reason for Christmas. Not the shopping, not the eating or the drinking, or even the television. It's you, Lord, and the fact that you came as a baby, vulnerable, poor, marginalised, but very, very real. Amen.
And Father, we thank you for NHS. We are so grateful for the health service we have in the country, for those working in the health service. We pray your blessing on them. We pray particularly for those who have to pay for the vaccination. They'll have the resources to do that. And we pray for healthcare professionals around the world, in many in situations where they don't have even the resources of things like the NHS. We pray that you'd raise up doctors and nurses around the world to care for those who need caring. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Father, we thank you for the joy of our youngsters. Thank you for their wonder at the sparkly lights and the songs and just the delight of Christmas and all the good things that go with that. I pray that for youngsters for whom this Christmas will not be a joyful time, who are in difficult households, who are alone or afraid. We pray that as adults, we will recapture some of that joy of childhood. As you said, unless your heart is like that of a little child's, you won't get the kingdom of God. So help us to have that joyful heart. Help us to reach out and to support and bless and bring joy to those youngsters for whom the joy has been stolen. Amen.
Lord, I pray that we all make the most of this time, this period of Advent, as we await, wait for, wait on, but that we can use this as a time of reflection, of thinking, of understanding even. And that we use the time to think about the wonderful coming of Jesus, what that has meant to the world, what hope that has given us all, Lord. And in the time when we're all so desperately impacted in one way or another, in many ways, by the season that we're all going through, just that we get comfort from knowing, however desperate we feel, however lonely we feel, however frightened we are, that we remember that we have the comfort and the grace of God. Going forward with us. And I pray that we can walk forward into 2021 with that knowledge that will bring comfort to all of us, our families, friends, people that don't even read, but that by being in our presence, they can tell that there's something different. And that difference is you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Got lots of amens on the stream.
Amen. Lord, thank you. We may not be together in one room, but we're all here with you right now, Lord. Mm. Certainly, and we will all, I'm sure, feel the presence of each and every one of us that are listening in, watching now, watching later. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to be in one place to be all together with you.
I pray for our leaders, Lord, for Tim and the team and the members of the PCC, for the decisions that have had to be made this year and are continuing to be made. We're facing a situation that none of us have ever been in before. Mm-hmm. And churches are having to be run in different ways than they ever have before. And give us the chance to seize joy in adapting things to how they are. We want them to be different, but we can't have that at the moment. So just help us to be focusing and finding joy in the now and the what is. Look forward to what next. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lynn, for leading that. That was great. Really helpful. So, coming towards the end of our time here this evening, it's been great to interact with somebody on the comment stream. We got thanks coming in from people. That's good. I hope wherever you have been watching or listening, Sarah, for those of you who can see, Sarah waving her robin around still. For those of you listening, you'll have to imagine a great big stuffed robin. which is that it is nearly Christmas.
Exactly.
It is nearly Christmas. Next week will that be our last Shift Church of the year. We will have mulled wine and pie on screen.
Will we?
Well, if you don't like mulled, well, if you can organize your
own. Yeah, Tim's ordered a bottle for us all. It's been delivered tomorrow, isn't it?
If you listening would like to have mulled wine and mince pies, you're very welcome to join with us. There are various Christmas services happening around the parish. If you're local, we've got carols by candlelight of various kinds on stream on Sunday afternoon. And then we've got carols in the churchyard, crib service at 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve and Christmas Eve communion. Christmas Day services. Look on the website for details. Some of them you have to book in for, some of them are a stream. Almost all of them. Well, actually, the only one that isn't going to be live streamed is the crib service because it's outside, but everything else is live streamed.
If it doesn't rain.
Don't even start. Pray really hard that it doesn't rain or snow.
Pray hard. Pray. And also send in some requests for Tim to sing a live carol or something next week. I think that would be quite good with your guitar, Tim.
Thank you, Sarah.
Uh-oh.
Bless you.
And that By the way, I've got to go now. I'm not going to be there for him to have a shout at me after. I'm only joking, guys.
Right at the end of Sister Act, the film.
Oh.
Yeah, Sister, whatever her name is. Played
Whoopi
by
Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg, yes. Bless you. Anyway, so yeah, that'll be good. I was going to say something else and I've got completely distracted. If you've got comments, you want to ask questions, we can talk out next week. If you do want to put, it's going to be Christmas themed next week. So seriously, actually, if you've got favourite carols or favourite Christmas readings or favourite Christmas poems you'd like us to read, talk about, reflect on, send us some suggestions. We'll do a bit of a Christmas special.
Yeah.
Christmas melons.
The less things I have to think up of. So just to finish off, here we go. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Amen.
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 Good night, everybody. Goodbye. God
bless. Bye, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.